talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So, dude, what is this you're listening to? You need to pump up some jams. I mean, come on, it's Friday. People want to dance. Yeah, Phil knows what I'm talking about, don't you, Phil? Let's break out the glow sticks. It's time to get this party started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
How do you for sure know, by the way, that you're not gay?
How do you know you're not gay?
Well, because I've been there a couple times. It's not for me.
You never told me that. You've been there? You've been there? What does that mean? Where have you been?
Vaginas.
You've been to the vagina.
I've been to the vagina store, and I didn't find anything I wanted to purchase.
You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
Man, when I got shingles, it was something awful.
You, like, are definitely, you're the real thing that a lot of people say. So do you think if you weren't, I mean, if you were less fake, do you think you would be, or you could, or you have a desire to?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Okay, so this is happening.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Just when I thought this day was getting better.
Roll another one.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Just like the other one.
Ooh, why is my bed wet?
This one seems to be about quit.
Oh.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Turn your radio up.
Roll another one.
Why can't my boobs get bigger?
Right?
Just like the other.
Just wait.
This one seems to be about spend.
Oh,
I don't have another cent.
So break out the tissues, because you're going to want to masturbate to all of them.
Anybody have the Imodium? It's an emergency, Kevin.
Just pass it around.
Hi, yeah, all right.
My issue is that we wake up to this much awesome.
And now,
hello. The writers of this program are depending on my ethnic but non-threatening voice to explain things they are too lazy to set up traditionally.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 18th of January.
Hey, kids.
Hi.
What's happening?
Hey.
How do you know when it's time to walk away from a successful career?
It's much larger issue than I thought we'd be getting into.
Right?
At 5:30.
You see those quarterbacks who, you know, they've 17 years in the league and they win that Super Bowl, and you think, that's the time to pack it in. Don't come back. Don't turn into Joe Montana on the Chiefs, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or Michael Jordan with the Wizards, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there are lots of examples of people who just hang on too long when there's an obvious point at which they should hang it up.
Yeah, you know what, though? I think those people have been playing football, in that particular case, their entire lives.
It's all they know.
Yeah, so to say, okay, I'm leaving now, it seems like it just goes counter to everything that they've ever experienced.
Yeah.
I just don't see what the point is of continuing on with this show once we've been retweeted by Witch Rot. I think at that point, it's just that's...
I see. I didn't realize you're going for that.
Yeah, that's the sign of, well, you've accomplished everything a radio show can set out to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why are we even on the air today? I mean, that happened yesterday.
I know. I have my tattoo appointment at 2 to get the whole retweet on my back, which is still trying to figure out what that is, but.
Yeah.
We got retweeted by Witch Rot. I mean, they were very excited about Witch Rot Wednesday, obviously. We were all wearing our T-shirts that day in support. And Jensen, I don't know if you had a chance to go to Witch Rot's Twitter page, but they are new to the social media site.
Yes.
They just joined in November.
Yeah, they're riding the wave of viral and joined Twitter.
Joined Twitter, yes.
Yeah.
6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They are only following, Witch Rot, by the way, is the Toronto doom metal band that we have been obsessed with ever since their viral breakup announcement. Mm-hmm. Stoner rock, maybe is a better way to say it. But they only follow three accounts on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Kevin and Bean was the first one.
Yay!
Is that because we're so metal?
I think so. Probably, we're so metal.
They know that we stay heavy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Hashtag stay heavy. We got them on Twitter, you guys. Three accounts, Kevin and Bean, Joe Rogan, and then a recording studio, I guess, Bronca Studio, where they're working on their new music right now. That's it. I just feel like we're in simpatico with Witch Rot. Like, we're tight.
Like, maybe we could
now.
Join the band?
Or something.
I mean, just to tell you what kind of geniusness we're joining. 11 hours ago, they tweeted, Grandma and I making sausages. She's pretty metal.
Okay.
And then hashtag Hungarian food, hashtag grandma, hashtag metal grandma, hashtag not really, hashtag whatever, hashtag sick dude, hashtag go for gold, hashtag smoking meat.
What do you think grandma thinks about the music of Witch Rot?
Loves it. Couldn't be happier.
I can't imagine a world in which the parents or the grandparents or the siblings or the friends of Witch Rot are into their band.
Even their friends, Bean? Come on.
Maybe they're friends.
Also, so much sausage.
God,
it's so much. Are you looking at it?
Yes. It's a dining room table full of sausage. Like, how will they ever need that much sausage?
I don't know.
Well, they live in Canada. This isn't the type of thing that you cook. Maybe they cook it all ahead of time. Maybe they killed a deer, cooked it all ahead of time. And then now they're freezing it.
Honestly, it looks like they killed a human. It is so much sausage.
It really is too much.
Too much sausage.
It's too much sausage.
TMS.
Jensen, you have to write to them and ask why they have so much sausage.
I'm asking right
why
now.
Why so much?
I'm asking right now. I'll update you if they respond.
Why so much sausage?
This can't be any serving size.
No, of course not.
They're a great band, guys.
I mean,
I'm just gonna sit here and wait until we get a response.
This feels weird that we're just waiting.
I'm sorry, we're gonna wait till they respond to us on Twitter.
Okay, yes, we are.
That might be a while because
am I overly excited by Witch Hot knowing we exist?
No, I'm with you, but I'm always with you. I'm with you with Friday, so
yeah. I just think it's awesome.
I do like the idea that they posted a picture of that much meat, and the other comments are just metal. My husband's Hungarian. Yes. Unreal, outstanding, and then me, why so much sausage?
Kevin, have you seen the photo?
I have, yes.
How could you? What would you ever do with that much meat?
I mean, I can't
imagine. Go ahead and pull it, Jeff. I know.
I can't imagine. It must be for the next year. They're just going to put it in a freezer and eat it, you know, for a year.
Maybe they run like a kebab business.
It's as good a joke. I mean, answer is any.
I can't think of why you would want this much. And I'm also concerned.
It's a lot of sausage, you guys.
I'm concerned that the Witch Rot guy, clearly they haven't made the kind of money they need to make yet, which they will make long
term. Of course.
We know that.
Well, they're that talented.
Yeah. And so maybe there's a Witch Rot meat business, a Hungarian meat business.
Mm. Interesting.
All right, we got to find out more about Witch Rot guy's grandma.
I'll let you know as soon as...
She seems to be the ringleader.
That's right. I'll let you know as soon as the message has been responded to.
Okay. All right, good. That's a great way to start. See, maybe there is a reason to stay on the air, you guys. Here, I thought we were done yesterday. Now I realize this could be the beginning of a beautiful journey.
There's still more.
I mean, if this doesn't end with Witch Rot playing Weenie Roast, then I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
It has to happen.
It's true. Yeah.
It has to happen. They're singers from L.A. I mean, it's all connected.
I'm in.
Okay.
And
in.
And you know what? We'll invite the grandma. Have her bring down some sausage.
Oh, she's got strong. Plenty.
Yeah. Gosh.
She can feed the whole place.
The whole arena.
A lot of sausage.
She's actually catering it. Catering weenie roast. Sausage roast.
There you go.
All right. Boom.
All right.
Sausage
like
roast, I'm sure, is already trademarked.
I did rent it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What I love about this show is it gives someone like you a chance for a much bigger audience, and you absolutely deserve it. You're brilliant.
Wow.
A rare vote of confidence for you, Kevin.
Nudists, what's up?
Great question.
We're going to talk to you if you're a nudist today.
I'm a never nude. You guys know that. We've talked about that before.
Sure. But for real? Or are you just joking?
Nobody ever, including me, needs to see this.
I mean, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying.
So I'm the opposite.
You know, like Psycho Mike used to get out of the shower, get into a shower, taking his shirt off as he got in.
Who's he avoiding?
There was no one else there.
Yeah, he just had real body issues.
Oh.
But for no reason. I have plenty of reasons.
We also have Sam the Armenian Comedian on the program today, you guys.
My first direct experience.
You've never interacted with him.
No, I've heard him clearly for years.
Sure.
But no, this will be my first time. As a quarter Armenian, I feel like I'm closest to him.
Okay.
But I'm also not insane.
That won't help. Yeah. Right, okay, yeah. He's super angry at us.
Oh.
Very mad at us.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, TikTok.
Okay. TikTok indeed, Allie. A brand new internet roundup on today's show. We have our friend Paul Scheer joining us in studio.
Yay.
Love Paul.
Very excited about that.
Looks very silly with hair in the new series.
And a lot of hair.
It's not
like they just gave him hair. They were like, we're going to give you a ton.
It's like that little baby one-year-old's hair that we were...
Chunko.
Oh,
Chunko.
He's Chunko of the television show.
Here's the thing that came up yesterday that I was not aware of, and that's that you could be too nervous to watch your sports team in the playoffs.
Your favorite team.
Too nervous.
Yeah.
Yes, I was surprised by that conversation as well.
I got thoughts.
I met a fan who can't do it.
Right?
Loves her team, but when it comes to the playoffs... It makes her sick. She can't watch a minute of it. Has to find out after the game who won.
That's craziness.
It
does seem like you're missing the point of the whole season, which is to get to the playoffs.
And keep it 100 because it's Friday. We will take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
Well, we all know that the Grammys are going down February 10th on CBS here in L.A. Back in L.A. I mean... just from last year, because
right.
It was in New York.
Sure.
We know that Alicia Keys is hosting.
It's still a weird choice.
It's fine.
I think it'll be fine.
And now we know some of the performers. We've got Camila Cabello, Cardi B, Janelle Monáe, Post Malone, Kacey Musgraves, Shawn Mendes, and Dan and Shay. I don't know
country
them.
Duo. They're having
country.
A moment.
Country.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Having a big moment right now.
Dan and Shay.
I thought you were just making that up for a second.
And Bob and Joe. And Frank and Jim.
Just two guys who went to high school with Dan and Shay. We hang out with them. No need for last name.
No bigs. Yeah. No bigs. So those are some names that you can watch perform. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's accurate reporting.
Thank you so much. You guys know I... maybe more than anyone, maybe except Bean, love the olds. I love old people.
Right.
I think they're our last bit of history, and we need to sit with them and learn from them and just gain so much knowledge.
Cook sausage with them.
Cook sausage with
right.
them. Whatever you need to do.
But way too much sausage.
Too much.
Yeah, that's
too much
sausage.
Yeah. I adore old people.
Right.
Does a 97-year-old man...
Yes, he does.
Need
How dare
to
you.
Be behind the wheel of a car.
Oh. Don't take away his independence.
When he's married to the Queen of England, he never has to drive ever. Why you driving your Range Rover and getting in accidents, endangering the good people of England? You're 97.
Maybe
you just say, hey, I've been driven around my whole life. Let's continue that for the last bit of air that I have in my lungs.
Prince Philip and the Queen both still drive, by the way. Generally very near the Sandringham estate where this happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like they're driving across country.
This is
an
odd defense from Bean.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Most accidents, as we all know, happened close to home.
Right.
Yeah, and this one was literally pulling out of the driveway of the Sandringham estate.
The way Bean said it with nonchalance also is terrifying.
Exactly. I'm like, Sandringham.
Did you see the photo?
Yeah, the car was totaled.
He turned it, not upside down, I guess he turned it on its side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 97.
Yeah.
And wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
That's a baller.
How do you... Bean does have a different take on this than all of us.
No, I'm just saying, if you can turn your car on your side at 97 and walk away unhurt, that's amazing.
Bean,
Superman.
Bean is totally... like, it is an honor to be hit and nearly killed
right?
by Prince Philip. That man should be thankful and thank him for hitting him.
You said he was just coming out of the driveway?
Out of the driveway.
So how did he do that?
It just collided with another vehicle. almost like he just pulled out of the driveway thinking that road was his too.
Like olds do. The two women in the other car were also not hurt, by the way. And I found this interesting.
But he's going to put him to death, right?
Kevin, this is going to really annoy you, no citation was issued. No blame was assigned. How about that?
I mean, he's 97. We know where to put the blame.
Right, but they're not.
And we know where
they're
to
not
find
is
them,
the point.
Too.
Right, but they're not.
Can't get a hold of this Prince Philip guy that hit my car. Yeah. Anyone know him?
Where does he live?
Putting up his picture on Twitter. Do you know this guy? He hit me.
This 97-year-old man still allowed to drive. Who could he be?
So I guess you just get away with it if you're in the royal family, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, what are they going to do? Make him come to traffic court or something? I guess not.
At 97?
What if he had to go to, like, traffic court, then he had to go to traffic school and sit there for hours, and people were like, I don't want to sit by the old guy. It smells like cabbage.
I would do it online, but my kids aren't helping.
I can just about walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Just say maybe he shouldn't be driving.
It's funny,
you mentioned, his kids, Jensen, because, you know, Prince Charles, his son, has got to be 70.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's the other generation who shouldn't be driving.
Right. That's his kids, though.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
My kids, kids.
We'll tackle that and other tough issues coming up on a very special Kevin and Bean. But for now, some birthdays. De Bautista. Jonathan Davis from Korn.
Ooh, he sounds good.
Yeah, hasn't missed a step there. Kevin Costner. And a man that has a lovely sister named Allie that's one of the best artists I know. Jason Segel.
Hey.
Happy birthday. And that's what's happening.
Don't forget, got your Coachella tickets once again this morning at 9 a.m. like we have all this week here on K-Rock. And then you're qualified to go to the Reading Festival in England, don't you know? See the 1975 and many more bands, including Foo Fighters and Billie Eilish, Hotel, Roundtrip, Airfare, and more. We'll do the grand prize drawing. Well, they haven't told us. Maybe next week?
I like when you guess.
Away Coachella tickets longer. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
We got to start going to the meetings, you guys.
Nah.
But meetings are so dull.
Yeah, I like the way it's going.
We're just kind of wigging it. Anyway, 9 o'clock this morning, if you want free Coachella tickets, 3-day passes to the sold-out festival, you want to be listening to Kevin and Bean.
Jensen, tell us about Carolyn Calloway. Am I saying that right? Or Caroline?
Karen Calloway. Okay. Caroline Calloway. I've been so obsessed with this deep dive on Instagram. A lot of people may have heard of it. This week, obviously, total disasters are in the news. We have both Firefest docs dropping on Hulu and Netflix. And now people are saying we might just have Firefest 2 on our hands.
Mm. Oh, all right.
She's a 27-year-old Instagram influencer. I had producer Christine come into the studio because she is a self-confessed fan, correct?
Okay.
before you even start to distance yourself, you are one of the 850,000 people who follow her on Instagram. What she did and why she became semi-famous, per se, producer Christine come into the studio because she is a self-confessed fan, correct?
Okay.
before you even start to distance yourself, you are one of the 850,000 people who follow her on Instagram. What she did and why she became semi-famous, per se, is she is an American girl who moved to these, like, meetups every once in a while. She did one that kind of paid off. She showed up at a bar and everyone was able to sort of buy her drinks. And she did a shirt collaboration. But all the other things she brought up, television show ideas, obviously the book, a bunch of other promises she made started to fall through over and over again. She'd even talk to journalists and set up an interview and then just never be heard from again. This girl has a very millennial touch when it comes to making plans or ideas.
Okay.
And she set up an influencer meetup, basically. It was going to be $165 per girl who signed up, and it sold out in days. Literally, she sold like 300 tickets in minutes. She started to open it up to other cities. And if you knew Caroline Calloway, what would you think is probably the problem in selling all these tickets?
She has to follow through on the tour.
She had no plans. She had no venue. She would tell people, when you show up, I'm going to have a mason jar filled with beautiful flowers for each of you. And I'm going to have homemade salads. And it was like, and she's like, and then I'm going to set up an hour meet and greet, but I'm not going to be there because it's just you guys getting caffeinated.
I want you guys to chat with each other before I come. My favorite, though, about the salads is after one of the first meetups that she did, she realized, and I quote, "It's really hard to cook these for 50 people." Okay, you're not cooking salads.
Yeah.
And then she had promised through Eventbrite that she was going to have these wonderful flower crowns for every single person that showed up. It turned out to be a little flower clip that you put in your hair to take a picture with her. Then you gave it back for the next person to put the flower clip in her hair to take a picture.
Yeah. And so there was one?
Yeah. So dang.
Just one flower.
And yeah. So she was in over her head.
But
she's not an event
but
organizer.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Was she in over her head? Or was she from the very beginning just a scam artist?
I would always say, I always lean towards the positive and would think she's just in over her head. But this is a pattern of just blown opportunities over and over again where she just truly doesn't care. And she sort of has this privileged, dare I say, white girl aura to her as far as setting up these plans. And you know, on top of that, now, after all this press, because Seth Rogen has tweeted about it, Roxane Gay has tweeted about all these people about, you know, she has to give back all the money, and she did, because people went to it and found out they had to sit on the floor. People,
unbelievable.
But the best is tell them about all the different cities where she just decided, we'll do it all in
New
York.
So after she finds a New York venue, which is the cutest part of this, she finds a great New York venue, and she puts on her Instagram story, "Hey guys, I'm thinking about moving it all just to New York. What do you guys think about that?" And gave two options.
So how many cities were it?
San Antonio and
Boston,
all these other cities. She goes, "I'm thinking about just everyone going to New York. What do you guys think?" And the two options for the poll were, "Yeah, that sounds great," or "F yeah."
So nobody could tell her that that's a terrible idea, and they can't make it to New York.
And then she reported on the results. "Guys, the poll's in. We're going to move it all to New York." All right, Christine, defend this insanity.
Okay.
Go for it.
So you are trying to...
Oh, right.
Okay. This girl, first of all, is insufferable. I am telling you that...
Okay.
Christine has turned on
her. She's turning. All right.
I mean, this is years ago now. After her book deal fell through, and it comes out that she is a completely different person than she painted herself to be, one of the redeeming factors and why people, I think, started to follow her more is... You're 22 years old, and of course you don't know who you are yet, and she's finding herself and figuring herself out. So it was that part was interesting to see that as a human being, you have flaws. It's your journey. You can admit that, like, you made mistakes.
Take money from people. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But so, now she's 27.
Right. Yeah. She is 27 now, and this is why I, again, I'm not a fan of hers, but I'm interested in the story. I think it's the same reason why people really love things like e-reality shows. It's like people who open up their life.
Right.
I'm an intensely private person, and I think it's fascinating people who share those very intimate, private details of their life with the world. And I normally don't care, but I think because this was somebody who I was interested in before, I was like just curious what happened to her, you know? Mm-hmm. And Instagram is a very easy, non-committal way to follow someone's life, right?
Do you still follow her?
I mean, yes, I follow her on Instagram. I don't really read the stories, but I did see that.
Still a cult member.
She's a real Caroline Calloway head.
Right?
So real quick, just so you know, some new updates also.
Yes.
Put on YouTube. It's back on, guys. So
what's back
tour?
On?
The tour. She gave back all the money, but it's back on, and now she's going to be taking ticket purchases. You can go and get your own one flower tiara. You can get your own mason jar filled with seeds, by
just
the way.
Seeds.
Just flower just seeds. There were no actual seeds in it. But you
no
can...
soil, no nothing.
Yeah.
Just seeds.
And you can allow her mom and her to make salads for you. It's all going to happen. $165 was the price then. I'm hoping it just doubles.
It's $165.
Still.
She hired a caterer this time.
Listen to the defense. Yeah.
Are you going to go?
No,
wait,
you guys.
Don't act like we're crazy. Yeah. We're not following her.
Can we pay for you to go for the show?
Oh, my God. It's tomorrow in New York, so yes, you totally can.
Well, when it comes to L.A., you and we'll send you, and you'll get a flower tiara, and you'll come back and tell us salad was like.
I mean, you should unfollow her, is what I'm saying. If she's a scam artist, right?
I don't think she's a scam artist. I think she was just made a mistake.
I agree with Christine, by the way, but I know next to nothing about this woman. I understand that Jensen has pointed out some shady stuff. To me, it sounds like somebody who was in over her head. It really does. Sounds like somebody who's trying to create a good fan experience but has no idea how to do it. It'd be like if you and me, Kevin, tried to put on the weenie roast by ourselves. You know, we're just out of our depth.
Yeah, in the same way that Enron was just trying to get us all power and energy.
Us doing weenie roast without booking any bands, but selling tickets.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I think this girl, and one of the reasons why I'm not a fan of hers, is she
should unfollow her.
Yeah,
then.
You should unfollow her.
She has an incredibly overinflated ego and sense of self-confidence. And sure. So I think that the idea of anybody who would charge tickets to have people come see them speak about themselves is right. Weird in the first place.
But you're doing it?
No, I'm not calling you guys. But at the same time, I don't think that there was like malice involved. Like she was trying to dupe people. I think she thought this was going to be an interesting thing and literally had no clue, was completely clueless about what it took to produce an event.
Maybe no malice involved, but so much entitlement that she thought people wouldn't care. That she thought people wouldn't mind if they're sitting on the floor eating a little bit of lettuce.
You're 100% right on
so,
that.
So, yeah. To me, that's almost as bad as scamming.
Okay. To your point and to Jensen's point, when her event started to unravel while she was cooking the salad and she was having a mental breakdown, the next stories were things like, okay, guys, cooking is really hard and I hope you don't mind, but maybe we can just brown bag it. Would you guys mind
doing
that?
Holy crap.
She said, I'll put more money into the tiaras. Yeah. That's what she said. For real. She's like, bring a brown bag. I'll put more money in the flowers.
You need to unfollow right now.
On the clip.
Do you have your phone with you right now?
I do.
Need to unfollow right now.
Seriously.
Unfollow.
Come on.
The peer pressure, guys.
You're the one. You're giving us half the information on her being a terrible person.
All right.
Press the unfollow.
We're 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Nudists, what's up?
Right?
That's the question we're going to be asking coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. And we're all going to be taking off our clothes during that segment as well, right?
No, I didn't read it.
Just to kind of get into the vibe of the conversation,
part.
I think.
Mm. Okay,
right.
Yeah.
We'll discuss. Allie's here now. Time for What's Happening on a Friday.
I took off my pants last hour. What? I don't know.
Hold, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you taking that back?
He says Friday.
Oh, I thought it was my pants.
No,
thing.
No, your pants are all good.
All right. You guys, Paley Fest 2019, happening March 15th through the 24th at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. You can get full details and tickets at www.paleyfest.org. But today's the last giveaway, you guys.
What?
Last giveaway
of the
week.
One.
Oh, I think it is. How would you like to head down to the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland and see a show, the cast and the crew up there on the stage telling stories about, you know, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff of a great show that a lot of you might watch and have tissues next to you.
Can you tell us what the show is?
Not because anything bad is happening, but because you're watching people like Milo Ventimiglia, Mandy Moore, Sterling K. Brown up there bearing their
souls. Is
it
Manifest?
It is. This is us, you guys. Would you like to see them at Paley Fest 2019? A panel with the cast and crew of This Is Us. It's going down at the Dolby Theater March 24th. Just be caller 10 right now.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you, too. And you're going to get to see This Is Us talking all about crybaby stuff.
Let me tell you what, that's legendary, my boy.
It is legendary. You guys, you like Tom Morello?
Love.
Very much.
You like Alla Black?
Yeah.
Yes.
Same. How would you like to head down to Grand Park City Hall in downtown L.A. and see them performing live at 10:30 a.m.? What they do. Well, they are playing tomorrow after the teacher strike. They're going to head down to Grand Park City Hall, and they're going to play in honor of the teachers in support, in solidarity for the striking LAUSD teachers. They're saying, let the sunshine in. Public education belongs to the people. 10:30 a.m. rally and music at Grand Park and City Hall. And according to Tom Morello on his Twitter, the night watchman cometh. Hashtag union strong. Hashtag solidarity forever.
How about that whole deal?
So if you want to go check out some amazing musicians, I mean, for free, why not?
Yeah.
Who's with me?
Look, Tom Morello is always on the side of the unions and the workers.
Yeah,
so
he is.
I'm not surprised at all to see him getting involved in this.
Alla Black, too. He's a good charity
good dude. Yeah.
Good eggs, those two, right?
Right. Who's That's what we're saying.
Some birthdays for you. Kevin Costner, Jonathan Davis from Korn.
Something takes a part of me. You and I weren't meant to be.
weird.
Corn has lost a step.
A star truly is corn.
It's amazing. Jason Segel and Dave Bautista, and that's what's happening.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup on the program later on today, and the very talented actor Paul Scheer will be joining us at 8. By the way, Paul Scheer is one of those guys who I bet gets recognized by every single person on the street, and almost none of them know where they know him from.
Hey, it's that guy.
Because he's that guy, he's in everything.
Yeah, there are people like that where you can't really put your finger on exactly why you know them, but you do.
Mm. What's his most famous thing, would you say?
The League.
Yeah, sure. I would say The League, too.
Yeah. Yeah. People for a long time would recognize him out in the streets as the other Page in 30 Rock. So, like, he would go up against Jack McBrayer.
Oh,
they would, like,
I see.
He was, like, another Page that would fight with him.
They were dueling Pages, yeah.
Well, he's great in everything, and we're very excited about his new Showtime show called Black Friday. So Paul Scheer next hour on K-Rock.
It's Black Monday, I think.
Black Monday it is.
Yeah.
Yes. Black Friday is a Steely Dan song, completely unrelated.
He's in that Steely Dan song now.
He's in Steely Dan.
Yeah, he does that little extra vocal. Yeah.
We did a story last week about the nudist restaurant in Paris that was closing down due to lack of business. It only was opened up for 15 months. And I remember we all had some ha-has about who wants to go eat naked. And I guess we weren't surprised it closed down. But I wanted to revisit the topic because in that same article, they talked about how much more popular nudism is becoming. And I've found similar articles saying the same thing here in America, in other parts of Europe, where there are more and more clubs and organizations and activities that are planned around nudism. And again, I should start off, especially if you're, you know, you got kids in the car or something like that, completely non-sexual. There's nothing about this the nudists say that is sexual. There's a difference between sexual nudity and non-sexual nudity. They're talking about people who just... they just want to go to the museum or golf while freeballing.
Do not want to golf. There are certain things that you just shouldn't do naked.
Well, but that's
I'm
the
suggesting.
But that's the attitude that I think that they're trying to fight with, which is why, though? Why are we – hey, why are you so uptight, man? I think it's the question they're asking. There are people – look, I don't find clothes very constricting, but apparently there are some people who say you can't – imagine the charge and the rush and the freedom and how good it feels to not have to worry about what you're wearing and just to be able to enjoy the activity, whether it's going to a museum or going on a cruise or whatever it is. People are really into doing stuff in the buff.
I just immediately start thinking about me sitting in a chair and who else has sat in that chair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, I immediately start thinking of just the grossness of it. Like, it doesn't sound enjoyable.
But I think in that case, let's say your example of a cruise ship chair, for instance, I think just like you would do at the gym, I think the environment would be, hey, be courteous to the people coming up next to you and wipe it down or sit on a towel or something like that.
Now you're counting on people to be good?
I was about to say, I don't even trust people at the gym to not look at me weird. I mean, I don't trust them to wash down.
They need a stack of chairs on that ocean liner, and then when you sit in and you're done, you just throw it over. Throw it in the ocean. Get a new one.
What would be wrong? Look, I'm no nudist here, okay? But I'm just saying, I'm playing devil's advocate. What would be wrong with the policy being you put down a towel if you're sitting on a lounge chair? That seems like
that's totally
easy solution.
Fine. It's totally fine. I just don't trust anyone, let alone nudists, enough to keep the entire place sanitary.
And you think you're going to get something off of somebody's butt that you're not already getting off of touching every doorknob that somebody's grimy hands have been on?
Yes. I actually do think
certainly
that.
There's a possibility.
I know that was like a question that had no real merit to it, but the answer is yes. I'm more nervous for my butthole to touch where another person's butthole was than my hands touching the same doorknob. Yes. Yes.
This article in England says that the naked bike ride, now in its 50th
bike
year,
ride. Bike those ride. Seats. Think about those
what?
Seats. Those seats aren't even enjoyable when I'm clothed.
What?
Well, I think you'd ride your own bike in a bike ride.
I'm saying visually, the seats disgust. Everything disgusts me about this. Wear clothes. Nothing's wrong with clothes.
1,300 Londoners rode in this year's naked bike ride. The most recent naked bike ride. So I guess the question I'm asking is, and I'd love to go around the room and get y'all's thoughts on this, is there any, do you buy the story that people just enjoy being naked for naked sake because they don't have to worry about other people judging them because it's an accepting community and it just feels good? And it's not creepy and it's not sexy and it's not about, oh, you're not fit enough or you're not young enough to take off your clothes. I mean, does that make any sense to you that that might be an experience that people might enjoy?
I think if you can get to the point where you are completely out of your head thinking, oh, my God, I need to stick in my stomach. I need to do this. I need to do that. And you're completely out of that zone,
mm-hmm.
you're more focused on a lot better things because you're
that
not.
Frees up a lot of time and energy.
Yeah. You're not in that zone of I need to impress someone. Am I wearing this correctly? Do I look good enough? That type of thing. If you wipe all of that away, that must be extremely freeing, not just spiritually, but emotionally, everything.
But does that go away when you take off your clothes? Because aren't you more conscious of...
They say that at a point, you just get to the point where you're like, this is me. This is it. Everybody in that community feels that same thing.
So you're saying,
you can get to that...
Yeah, you're saying basically to have the flu shot, you have to be injected with the flu. Do you know what I mean? Like, take the sickness so that you don't have to feel it. Like, I'm naked now. Doesn't matter. This is as bad as it can get. I feel great.
Essentially, yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. If because you're never walking around as bad as it can get.
I think I can do that clothed. I think I can feel better about myself and just start working on my esteem clothes.
Okay.
We want to take your calls, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067. If you have any either thoughts on this or preferably experience with nudism. I mean, we have nude beaches, some, in Southern California.
Sure. Yeah.
There must be people who have gone. I can't see me getting to the point where I would be not staring at boobs.
Well, I'll tell you this. I have some experience here.
Oh, you do?
I do. When I was a rapper, I went on a spring break tour of Jamaica, mm-hmm. and they had us stay at a nudist hotel,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a joke, then found out they were just trying to save money. There was no one in that hotel, in that entire resort, that I ever wanted to see nude. Not one person.
I mean, mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that because I was going to have to. Is that it's just, it's not, it isn't the hot people, Bean.
But that's not the, but that, that's,
but so you're
that,
saying
that's
staring
not
at
the
boobs.
Point.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're worried about it turning sexual in your mind,
mm-hmm.
ain't going to happen.
But I think the whole point, again, I can't speak for nudists. That's why I want to get some on the phone here. But I think the whole point is, like Allie was saying, you're not looking for hot people. It doesn't matter if the people in the group are 60 or 20, because that's not what it's about. It's not about turning people on or impressing people. It's just about stripping away the outer layer and getting down to just person-to-person communication.
Amen,
Bean. No, I'm the exact opposite. I think this is a bad thing. I think we should all be clothed. I think we should all wear burkas. Even trash bags. I want to look like Missy Elliott in the Hype Williams video. I'm fine.
Kevin, didn't you go in Europe to a naked beach?
Yeah, in Barcelona.
Barcelona,
yeah.
Okay. Now, you're way too immature to just take that as it comes, right?
I mean, yes. Okay. There are exceptions to this, and I'm not one. I mean, I am one of them because it's impossible for me to be around nude people and not look and
judge.
Sure,
judge,
yeah,
right.
Sure.
Would you at all when you went to the nude beach? Were you nude as well?
No, I was not. No.
Me also. If you're asking about the Jamaican resort,
yeah, it's not a thing where people look down on you if you wear clothes.
No,
but uh-huh. they just also don't look down on you if you're naked.
Right.
But you look down on them.
I mean,
literally.
Right? Would you ever be the guy who, like, hey, I can take off my clothes. I'm going to take off my clothes and be on this beach? Because people don't know you. It's not like you have to worry about running into them the next day at
work. I don't
work.
Think so.
I don't have the need.
But I don't have the need either. But I don't think so. But it also doesn't enter my mind.
You've never swam in an ocean naked?
No.
Ah, once you do, there's no going back. I'm telling you right now. What about, like, skinny dipping? You've skinny dipped.
But I haven't been. I didn't think it was more enjoyable than swimming in trunks.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, no.
The water gliding over your body, you're basically a seal.
What? Is this an episode of Real Sex on
HBO? Yeah, what is happening?
What is this?
I haven't done that, Allie, but that sounds like it would be a completely different and exhilarating experience.
It is euphoric, Bean.
Yeah.
No, it's fine, weirdo.
We have some calls on the line. We're going to take a very quick break. Evelyn, you stand by. We're going to talk to you. Caleb as well. Everybody else, please hang on. I think this could be an interesting conversation, and I think we should take it seriously.
Sure.
And maybe learn a little something here.
Absolutely.
1-800-520-1067. Right back to your calls next on K-Rock.
Already. naked. But, yes, if you're already naked,
right.
This is for you.
It is, okay. Actually, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. As you know, Kevin, we're talking about nudists, nudist colonies, nudist events, nudist restaurants, nudist museum galleries.
Nudists, what's up?
Nudist, what's up?
What are you talking about? We want to see some naked dudes.
I know you do, but right now we're taking calls at 1-800-520-1067. Tom and Colton, you hang on. We're going to get to you next. First, let's get Justin from Long Beach in here. Justin, for folks who weren't with us in the last segment, I guess the point was, is that you go to a nudist thing, a nudist event, and it's not a sexual thing. It's a freedom thing. It's a strip away all of the constraints of society and just be yourself and enjoy other people. What's your experience been with nudism, sir?
Yeah, I call crap on that one. when my wife and I first got together, when we first got married, we thought it'd be fun to go to a nudist beach that was near a college town. So we were thinking there would be people close to our age. We got there and we were sadly mistaken. No, we were just going just for the experience. And so along the back side of the wall, there, back of the cliffs there up against the beach, there were these like guys in there at least 70s. Mm-hmm. And they were all doing this really creepy thing where they were sitting, they were all wearing polos and no bottoms whatsoever.
Okay.
And kind of sitting on the edge of their chairs and letting, everything hang down.
Daffy Duckin.
Is that a term, Jensen? Daffy Duckin?
Well, isn't that what we wear, a shirt and no pants?
Donald.
Donald Duck. Daffy Duck is when you just start screaming succotash. I get those messed up. Yeah.
Exactly. But hold on a second here, because it sounds to me, Justin, like you went there to be turned on. You went there looking for a swinging experience or a voyeuristic experience, and that's not what the nudist beach was about.
No, I would disagree. That's not true. We weren't going there for that. We were just kind of going just to see what it was like.
Well, your complaint is that the people weren't young and hot enough, and you didn't get to see people naked.
No,
you wanted to.
Justin was looking for like-minded people and is telling you there are none like him, so he didn't enjoy it. That's what he's saying.
I suppose so. There were also a lot of people there that were specifically there to look at everyone else, and you could tell that they were because they positioned themselves at the very back of the beach to look at everyone.
Well, that's how I get the best photos.
And
okay, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
They have binoculars.
Let's go to our man Tom. He's in Colton. It says here that he lives in a nudist resort. That's what we're looking for.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. And Allie, how you guys doing?
We are great. We really appreciate your calling. Where is this nudist resort?
It's up in Colton near Riverside. It's on a ranch, about 120 acres, real nice place.
How long you been there, and how many other people live on the ranch?
Actual residents is probably about 80. And 2 years ago, I came up here for a nude 5K race. I'm a distance runner, and thought it'd be fun.
Wait, we're bearing the lead. Bearing the lead.
Right.
You ran a 5K. Everyone in it is naked. Is it easier for you to run because of that?
Well, you know, it's funny. Being a distance runner and stuff, you got to keep the junk kind of. It's fun to run nude and stuff, but when you're bombing hills and things are flying, and it can get a little, we'll call it bumpy, you know. And for the women, it can be tough, too, because especially the big-breasted ones, you know, to not have a sports bra on.
I mean, it's a terrible idea to run naked.
No, it's fun, man. It's free. It really is. It's really, you get out in the sun, and you just go out, and you cruise, and we're on a big ranch, so there's no one around. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I'm out on the trails. It's me by myself or couple other residents. Everybody's real cool, you know. And yeah, we put towels down, by the way, when we sit
on
seats.
Thank you for talking. So, Tom, my question is like, what was it that made you like? You went there for the 5K, and then you were like, "I like this lifestyle." Like, what is it about it that like speaks to you?
Well, first of all, everybody is really cool. Nobody judges anybody for anything except they put on the table. You know, I mean, not quite literally, but, you know, they judge you for who you are, what you bring in, and everybody's just, they take care of each other. We care about each other. We're all just fun. You know, it is a family place. You know, it's not like a lot of people have this concept that they show up to a resort and there's people banging at the pool or this or that. This is, we're real respectful to each other, you know?
Well, just talking me right out of it.
Yeah. Selling me.
What's the percentage, I'm asking this because Kevin's thinking it and doesn't want to ask, of people you'd want to see naked versus people you wouldn't?
Wait, say that again, sir?
What's the percentage of people you like seeing naked versus people you don't? Or does that not even enter your mind at this point after a couple of years on the ranch?
It doesn't, man. I mean, you know, if you're out looking to get laid or something and you're looking for that kind of a thing, you're not going to show up at our place. Mm-hmm. Once you start, once you're into the whole thing, you don't even think about it. You know, I mean, you'll do the peak, like, you know, the hero always peaks, they say, but then after a few minutes, it's just all the norm. You don't even think about it anymore. I know it's weird, but you really don't.
Tom, do you find that you're having deeper connections with people on all different levels because there is no pretense?
Yeah, you're stripped clean, man. Literally, there's no pretense. They're not showing up in any kind of, you know, a specific clothing that might say, oh, they have this or they have that, mm-hmm. or they're not, you know, you're just seeing them for who they are, quite literally. And when you meet people, you know, when you meet somebody dressed a certain way or a certain, you know, a place, a club or this or that, you know, it's a different, you get a different perspective. Mm-hmm. When you meet somebody like this, you're getting them for who they really are. And they're accepting you for who you really are.
And how euphoric is swimming naked? It's lovely, right?
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
It's the best,
how
Tom.
Surfing naked is even amazing.
Oh,
you know?
I bet.
Tom, you just got to watch the junk on the wax with a little
thing. Right. Yeah, a little wax.
You have to be careful.
Yeah.
Junk on the Rocks is the next album title. Tom, what is not better nude? Like, what are things that you don't do on the... Like, what is there something that you...
Well, here's the thing, yeah. It's when it's cold out, man, I've got clothes on. You know, if I'm working on... here's a typical example. I'm working on... I have a rig out here, one of my rigs. I'm working on top of the trailer. And, you know, you forget that the damn thing's aluminum, right? And it's 100 degrees outside. Mm. And I'm up there working, you know, doing my thing. And I sit down for a second and burn the crap out of my ass. Yeah.
Like a negative.
Those things you got to kind of watch out for.
Okay.
But,
Tom, promise me you're using sunscreen, too.
I don't use a whole lot of sunscreen. No, I just grew up in the sun. And
you got
I know I need to. I've actually had a few. I've had a few things removed. But
Tom, I cannot imagine. Anyway. I cannot imagine a better spokesperson for your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Than
love
you.
It, Tom.
We really appreciate you listening and calling in and sharing your experience with us.
I would like a little plug. Olivedale Ranch, April 28th at 10:30. We have our 5K race. It's a lot of fun. We have live bands. There's, you know, pool, jacuzzi, restaurant, all that stuff.
Can't wait to send beer mug.
Yeah, and the Kevin and Bean a singles party will be right there that night, too.
Yeah,
why don't you have it here, then? It'll be fun. It'll be good times.
All right, Tom. Thanks for calling, man.
You can,
okay.
Thanks for your time, guys. Have a good weekend.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. Actor Paul Scheer joins us just after the top of the hour.
Yeah, he does. Kevin,
Yes.
Bear with me on this, because I know you've been trying to get us to have Sam the Armenian Comedian on, and even though we all vote against
New Year, new Sam.
I know, that's what you said, yeah. It's like, all right, here's one of my great analogies. It's like you go and sit out in a spot in the yard and you get poison ivy, and then you go, ooh, and then a week later you go, hey, I'm going to go sit out in that spot in the yard and get poison ivy.
See, that's just not the case because...
It is, though. Over and over and over again, you get poison ivy every time you sit on that spot in the yard. Why do you keep going to that spot in the yard?
Here's what happened last time after we talked to Sam. You yelled at me. He was a genius. You, Bean, said you loved it. And Allie said, I think I don't hate him as much.
Really?
Yes.
We sat in the grass one time and didn't get poison
ivy?
Yes. Well, then let's
I got a little itchy.
So where are we with Armenian Comedian 2019? Dave, our producer, the King of Mexico, is in. What's happened in the last week or so?
Well, you guys wanted to talk to him, so I reached out to him. And normally you call Sam and he picks up because, you know, what else is he doing?
Right.
And this time I called. No answer. Left a message. Waited for a call back. Nothing. Called. No answer.
Huh.
Left a message waiting
for
a call back.
So we assumed rightly that he was dead.
Yeah. I actually got a little worried because, you know, he changes his phone number from time to time because he loses his phone and breaks them. So I think he has disposable phones.
What?
Yeah.
You don't have to change your number if you break your phone.
If you're buying disposables, you do.
I
see what you're saying. I'm sorry, Jensen.
He's saying like he has burners.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a total.
Why would he have burners?
He's not going to have a real phone.
He just
can't because he can't keep one.
Okay.
He's Sam.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So how do you know he's alive then?
Because Kevin put out an Instagram video on at Kevin and Bean and asking people, like, have you seen this man? And it was very funny.
He was so quick. He was like, has anyone seen Sam Mirmy? We're trying to get in touch with him. We think he might be dead. so many things got jumped.
I was very sad, though, because... Yeah. And then... Then what happened, Dave?
And then, how did it go? Someone who knew his family reached out to them, and then they did. He did a video for us.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's how we know he was alive for sure, Bean.
Yes.
And he was holding a newspaper with the date on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Ask me anything.
what did he put in this video?
All right, here you go.
I'm alive and feeling so fine, you bitches. You never call me.
What?
I'm really freaking mad at you guys. KROQ, sit on it.
Did he just Cunningham us?
Full on sit on it.
Sit on it, huh?
Yeah. By the way, this whole story started with us calling.
Yes. And how is he mad at us for not calling?
Well, let's ask him.
20 years after, we're still calling him. How can he be mad at us?
Sam.
Good morning.
He's alive.
How are you, man?
And first of all, I didn't miss you guys. I miss my fans calling me from B-Team Podcast.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Oh, you didn't miss Bean and I and Jensen and Allie because we don't call, but the B-Team guys do, so you miss them. Trying to just...
Well, I miss my fans.
He missed
fans.
He missed the listeners calling his cell phone.
Oh, because you guys would give out his cell phone
he
number.
He would give out his number.
Right,
yeah,
he would, yeah. Okay. But you don't miss talking to Kevin and Bean at all, Sam?
I liked you guys. You are my hero. Otherwise, I can't be here talking to you. And first of all, I'm a survivor from in New York. I was hit by lightning and cab driver.
All right.
Wait, was that a joke?
No, it's real.
You got hit by lightning?
Yes.
That's just not true.
Wait, the
that would explain a lot.
The old like producer? The weather or the old producer?
I was hit by lightning, strike my almighty God. I'm telling you the truth.
You got hit by a bolt of electricity from the sky.
Yeah. And then the pole came down right in front of me, half block away, and I made a donut saying to God, please help me. And I saved myself, and I was all electric shocked in under my car. And I got out of there, and the black guy, he gave me $20 tip.
What
the my hell hair.
I am he not said, following you know, this.
I think.
Is he
saying you were driving a cab?
Yeah, he's a cab driver in this story. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, right. but the light pole came down a half a block away. Are you sure you got hit by lightning?
Listen to me.
All right. Okay. Sorry.
Ice cream man and all the girls you were in love with me.
Okay.
Okay. Something about an ice cream man and all girls. Okay.
He's been a cab driver. He was struck by lightning in New York City. Flagpole. You heard that part. The pole falls. He also was an ice cream man, and all the ladies loved him.
Okay. Is that all accurate?
I was a good humor man, ice cream man in the summertime, and all the Americans, they used to love me. They used to all over me, kiss me all over me.
Okay.
Sam, why are you bringing up all this ancient history right now out of the blue? We didn't ask you any of this.
We didn't ask, have you ever been hit by lightning, for example.
Why are you telling us all of this now, all of a sudden?
Yeah.
I'm asking, why are you bringing this up?
Why? Because I break my phones, that's why.
You break your falls?
Phone.
His phone.
Phone.
Come
I
on,
see.
Kevin.
How does that tie in to... Okay. I think he was referencing you saying he had a burner phone, and he breaks them. Because he got hit by lightning.
Can you put Sam on hold? Put Sam on hold for
me. Happy guys. Time out. Let's discuss.
Boy, there's a lot to unpack.
Huddle up, guys. Yeah.
But I will tell you that I am ready to live on that patch of grass in the yard.
Yeah, right.
I really am. I don't even care if I get poison ivy or not. I'm staying. Right?
And I have this tape for 3 months from now when you vote no and you yell at me.
Sounds like we're doing two breaks with Sam.
All right.
Bring him back.
Let's revisit him again in a couple
of
weeks.
But we
need a joke. Oh, yeah, we need a joke.
Oh, we do need a joke before we go.
We need a joke.
Okay. All right.
There's no way he's not listening to the show for 10 seconds once we go back home.
Hey, Sam.
Yes, I'm listening to everything.
Okay.
Great. Before we say goodbye, we need an Armenian comedian joke, please.
Oh, I'm about to go to Las Vegas to see the Manny Pacquiao, the fight with my wife. So she's getting hollering at me right now to help her all the luggage in the trunk. Anyway, I'm going to tell you this.
What?
I got the rock and roll band. I'm about to play in teacher strikes in middle school on Hyperion. I got the manager, everything.
Oh, no, 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 no. Haven't the teachers suffered enough? Yeah. Come on, Sam.
Sam, we need a joke.
Okay. One guy, he was in a butcher shop, and then the butcher says, here, I give it to you. Take it home. Oh, he was happy. So he sees a friend down the street coming by. What you got? Oh, meat, yeah? Do you have the ingredients? No. Here, I give you some ingredients. Here, he gives it to him. While he's walking, a big eagle comes and grabs the meat and flies away. Boom, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. The guy said...
Welcome back. I knew I was going to have to get out of the delay for him. I knew it. Sam, we've told you every time we've talked to you, you can't curse. Unbelievable. Okay. We're happy to have
one
you back.
One more thing before we go.
No,
one
we gotta go. That's it.
Break your phone.
One more thing before we go.
Okay, bye.
One more thing.
Okay,
one
see you later.
One more thing I gotta say.
Okay,
one
take care.
One more thing I gotta say.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
2019 is gonna be back.
Okay. The Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
Got a good batch of viral videos with Kevin Bean's Internet Roundup coming up just after 8. And then our friend Paul Scheer will be here. He's part of the new Showtime series Black Monday. That's all coming up. And keep it 100 later on today because it's Friday.
Here's Ally McKay.
Thanks, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
This is our favorite What's Happening of the Week because we get to highlight some of the songs that we're into at the moment. It could be something brand new that a lot of you haven't heard about or something that came up on a playlist and we're like, oh, I remember that. That's my jam. And that's why we call it That's My Jam. That's the playlist that we have. You can find it at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We will give you the link. Just click follow on it and you're going to have new music from all the members of the Kevin and Bean Show every single week in your ear holes.
Pretty
Kevin,
cool.
Kevin.
Yes.
You're first up with your pick.
I first found out about Fever 333 with Travis Barker when he was in the studio with us. He said he was working with this band, Fever 333. They were very Rage Against the Machine-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And as that's one of my favorite bands, I started listening to them, and they're fantastic.
Excellent.
They put out an EP last year called Made in America, and that was another one of my picks for That's My Jam. This one comes from their new album, Strength in Numbers, which is out today. They have a brand new album out today, and it's a ballad. Which you don't really get from them a lot.
Huh.
And it's called Inglewood 3.
When you're lost, I'll find you. The twilight in Baldwin Hills. When it's dark, I'll light you. A promise I will fulfill. Nothing's wasted. Moment's grace is still my heart. When you're lost.
I, in a million years, would have never guessed that that was Fever 333.
Right. That's why I put
miles that apart from their sound.
Right. That's why I picked it, because I love this one, too, but it's nothing like their other music.
They're sensitive in this one.
Love it so much.
Love it. All right, Bean, with your vastly different tune.
The biggest problem I had with picking a track from the Confidence Man album is I love every song on it so much.
So fun.
This is a band out of Melbourne. I think they're the modern B-52s. Maybe B-52s meets LCD Sound System is how I might describe them. Or if you remember the band from the 90s, D-Light, they're very much like that. They're super upbeat and super fun and super danceable. Again, the band is called Confidence Man, and the song that I picked is called Cool Party.
So I'm buffed in my moves, talking to some boys, and I meet this guy, Dave. Turns out it's his birthday. And everybody's saying, now I'm hot. Are you guys hot? So I take off my jacket and keep dancing.
I love it so much.
Good. Super fun, you guys.
just good times. It's really fun.
It's very fun.
Jensen, now for your vastly different song.
That's right. I first heard about Perlo from Miel, who's one of the hosts of Punch Up the Jam, one of my favorite podcasts. And they're out of Portland, Oregon. It's a duo, Henry Bardot and Marie Hassau. I'm probably saying it wrong. They write and record their own stuff. They just released an EP called Day by Day, and that's the song we're going to play. If you like the 80s kind of secret lovers duets, this is almost better than all those. It's got that kind of Christopher Cross feeling.
Yes.
Let's listen to it.
Do I go always looking for something? Should I wait by the door hoping you will come on?
So good.
I love it.
Lovey, do you want to go out on the yacht this weekend?
Yeah, if you're looking for a song that sounds like it's in the final credits of the movie Mannequin, I found it for you.
I'm telling you, I love that EP so much, and it sounds like they were put on this earth to sing together. Their voices mesh so well.
Very good.
It delights me. All right, now is my pick. It's a local band. All the guys are from Long Beach. I wound up seeing them randomly in like 2014 at the Troub. And I was like, they're really good. And then in typical Alley fashion, something was shiny and I forgot about them.
Sure.
And then I heard this song and I'm like, holy fun anthem. It is a band called Rival Sons. And this song is just fun and I dig it. It is called Do Your Worst.
Blind your eyes. Steal your tongue. Get you in your own now. Money like some young. Oh my babe, never gonna get you if I don't feel it. Take my body and do your
so you heard that band in 2014 and was like, all right.
They were great. I should keep up with them. Wow, vodka soda? Yeah, so I apologize to all of you. But five albums, they've got an EP. They toured with, like, Kiss and Judas Priest and Evanescence. Huh. I mean, it's insane. They've had this great run.
That.
No, you weren't. But they have a new album coming out, I think, in about a week. Again, source me on that. I'm not great at keeping up with people, but it's Rival Sons and a song called Do Your Worst, and I dig them. And when you can support a local band, I say do it.
Yeah. That was a great batch of new songs.
It really was.
We were all diverse very different. As hell.
We really were. Yeah. I'm really proud of us, you guys.
We see no color.
No.
We just pick songs.
Gross. So if you want to follow along, just go to @KevinandBean on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and click on That's My Jam, and you're going to get that playlist updated every single week. It's just good stuff, you guys.
Yep.
Some birthdays for you. We've got Jason Segel. Best part about Jason Segel, not just his acting and comedic talent, his sister Allie.
His sister, yeah.
Who we just love so very much. And Dave Bautista and Jonathan Davis from Korn. Killing it. And Kevin Costner. And that's what's happening.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8.08.
1 hour away from your 3-day passes for Coachella. And keep it 100 because it's Friday. We're going to be looking for you to choose any song you want to hear. Anything you've ever heard on K-Rock. If we still have it, we will play it for you coming up in an hour from right now on K-Rock. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah!
Watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup.
Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup.
Check it out, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Thug life.
K-Rock was literally the last major market radio station in America to have a website.
Yes, true.
And to stream.
Yes.
And to have a podcast.
We had to fight every one of these fights.
We literally
went in and said, we're the only radio station without a website. And they said, it's a passing fad, this internet thing.
It's a fad, right?
Unbelievable.
But I do feel like we've caught up now, and I do feel like we do a pretty good job of paying attention to what the new viral videos are. Dave, our producer, King of Extra, actually puts this together for us. Job every week. Dave, I know you're very excited. I know we don't normally do video game trailers, but what's in this week's roundup?
Oh, the trailer for Mortal Kombat 11. It is amazing. It's so graphic. The gameplay looks
awesome. I'm not even a gamer. I don't even have a system, and I want to buy one just for this.
Wow.
And Ronda Rousey turns out to be the voice of Sonya Blade.
All right.
So that's pretty cool.
Also, the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer and the John Wick Chapter 3 trailer, those are both in there. What's that?
Boban's in it.
Boban is in the movie. Yes, I know. How crazy is that? Some great clips we're not going to have time to play audio for include one of naked men discussing each other's penises. So that's a video you might want to check out. We're going to start with first, though. You guys remember Pimp My Ride, that very popular show on MTV back in the 90s? Exhibit was the host of it for a while.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a comedy parody of it, and I don't know this.
Timely.
These guys, the Clunes, I don't know their work until this, but this is fantastic. So it's as if Exhibit were hosting a new show called Pimp My Casket. Check it out.
Guess who's back from the dead, y'all? It's X and the Z Exhibit with a brand new make on the show that would change the afterlife game forever. This is Pimp My Casket. Tonight's episode, we meet up with my boy Jack, whose dad Jim never got to enjoy the casket he deserved. We're gonna make his death wish come true and turn Jim's eternal resting spot to an eternal pimping spot.
This cheap-ass wood needs to go, dog. Let's cover it up with some carbon fiber panels so them worms won't have a chance to rot Jim's body more than they already have.
Jim was a huge fan of the Fast and the Furious franchise, but he never lived to see the last six movies. So we installed a 10-inch display playing the entire series on loop.
Just because Jim bit the dust doesn't mean he should be covered in it. So we're installing a solar-powered mini Roomba for my friends at iRobot to keep this tricked-out casket clean as a whistle.
So after finishing up the interior work, now Jack's body doesn't fit. I don't know if we're going to be able to make this happen.
We made it!
They broke his legs.
You can rest assured that your dad is resting in everlasting pimping peace.
Very funny. There is a young woman whose name is Kaylee Kindler, and she is on a high school spelling bee team. And they travel around and go to the various tournaments and whatnot. And one of the things that they decided to do, I guess to keep in practice or just to kind of prank each other, is they would come up upon one another and scream out a word. And the other person has to try to spell it as fast as possible. And they're really having a lot of fun with it.
Instrument.
N-N-C-S-T-R-U-M-P.
Mickey Mouse. M-S-C-K-E-Y-O-M-O-E-C.
Championship.
Champ.
Pepperoni.
P-E-P-P-E-R-O-N-I.
Nationals.
N-A-T-O-N-A-L-S.
Hey!
California.
C-A-L-4-O-N-I-N-A.
Costa Rica.
C-O-T-R-S-R-R-S-I-A.
I don't know that that's going to catch on, but they sure seem to be enjoying it. I found this clip interesting. We usually play funny videos for you, but this one just struck me as so amazing because David Bowie was always ahead of his time, certainly in music, and apparently with the internet, too. He was asked, he was doing this interview with BBC back in 1999, and this reporter, much like the people who run K-Rock, did not see really a future for the internet. And David Bowie tried to explain to them how it was, and he turned out to be right. It was going to change everything. Check out David Bowie.
I don't think we've even seen the tip of the iceberg. I think the potential of what the internet is going to do to society, both good and bad, is unimaginable. I think we're actually on the cusp of something exhilarating and terrifying.
It's just a tool, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. No. No, it's an alien life form.
What do you think, I mean, when you think then about
is there life on Mars? Yes, it's just landed here,
but that's it's simply a different delivery system there. You're arguing about something more profound.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about the actual context and the state of content is going to be so different to anything that we can really envisage at the moment, where the interplay between the user and the provider will be so in simpatico. It's going to crush our ideas of what mediums are all about.
And that's David Bowie from 20 years ago, you guys.
I like the interviewer that's just like, what?
Wait, hold strangely on. He was the head of CBS radio.
And finally, I never understand why people do videos like these, but I guess because a lot of people will watch them on YouTube and maybe you make some money. Here's an Australian guy who's decided that he is going to test his pain threshold by going out of his way to go into the ocean and pull out man-o-war jellyfish, which have a very painful sting, and just draping them over his foot.
Puts it on his foot just on purpose.
On purpose, yeah.
Both
gets
feet.
Stung. Both feet, yeah.
Well, yeah, both feet.
To see what it feels like, and what do you think it feels like?
Tickles?
Okay, so I've got myself a blue bottle, Portuguese man-o-war. and I'm going to put it on my foot to test the pain, I guess.
Hey, let's do it.
It's starting to sting. It's starting to hurt now. Ow! What do I do that for? Ow! Oh! Yeah, that hurt. Ouch.
Pretty sweet.
So what did he do after he stung himself? He went and got another one and did it again on the other foot.
And I wonder if the other foot would feel the same.
Ah, how about that?
Oh, man. Reese, what are you doing?
It's a good group of videos, you guys, and you want to check them out at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all. Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
So 10 minutes ago, if somebody were driving down Wilshire Boulevard, did they just see Paul Scheer running down the street? Was that part of their
yes,
morning commute?
Yes, running or walking. What happened?
A jaunty stride as I mistakenly parked in the wrong parking garage.
Here's how it sounded from our side. Hey, guys, he's not going to be here right on time because he's walking on Wilshire Boulevard. We're like, what? Under what circumstances does that happen?
I still say I made it in the building with 2 minutes to spare, which is exactly like the way I like to do it.
And we are delighted to see you. Paul has been a guest many, many times over the years on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he is back with his new series that he's a part of on Showtime called Black Monday. Premieres this Sunday at 10 on Showtime. We're going to talk a bunch about that. But since the last time you were in, Paul, our mutual friend Jensen Karp has joined the Kevin and Bean Show.
I know. I'm very excited about that.
I was a replacement last time you saw me. I was just filling in.
Filling in. Yeah.
And now a permanent addition in a brand new studio.
Yeah, I mean, things are changing. Permanent. I mean, he's here for now.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with the word
but
permanent.
But your letter did help. Yeah. So thank you for sending that.
It's week to week.
It's day to day, really. No, Paul was always so supportive. And when I had started a podcast back in the day, he was the one who was like, come over to Earwolf and have fun. And he was really... you were always such a mentor to me on that.
Oh, so. Well, you're so nice to say it. I'm just excited to see the soundboard in action if you're here live.
Please, I could do it at any point if you like. It's really my dream come true.
I've been following it on Twitter.
You're still doing both your movie podcasts, too?
I am, indeed, yeah. I do a movie podcast about bad movies, which is called How Did This Get Made? And then do a podcast about good movies called Unspooled. Which has been great. We had Peter Bogdanovich, who directed the last picture show. On last week's episode, which was great.
Yeah, it's come a long way from the other podcast where you had the guys from The Room on.
Although this week we're really tackling a cinematic gem called Cellular about the dangers of cellular phones. Yeah. It's an amazing movie where Kim Basinger gets trapped in an attic and she manufactures a phone and calls Chris Evans and they have to save each other. It's amazing.
That's not for Unspooled. That's for How Did This Get Made?
Yeah. Okay, it's the rare crossover. We're doing it on both podcasts.
Okay.
But it has Jason Statham in it doing an American accent.
What is happening?
Yeah,
It was like late 90s. It's pretty great. It's a pretty great movie.
I want to ask you a question about the Unspooled, about the Good Movie podcast, because this is so funny that you would be in today, because we were having a conversation at the end of yesterday's show about the value in going back and picking up on stuff that is too old for you.
Yes.
All right? Stuff that happened. Like, should everybody see Citizen Kane, or does it not matter? Does it not matter if you never see Citizen Kane, even though it's a great movie? What do you think on that?
Well, that was my whole instinct in doing the show. I saw that I had all these, like, gaps in my movie knowledge. I hadn't seen Citizen Kane. I hadn't seen The Last Picture Show. And I wanted to see, do they actually hold up? Are they good? And what we're finding is, some of them are really good, and some you're like, okay, that's kind of a little racist, a little problematic. You know, but it's fun to kind of discuss and talk to different people about. But yeah, like, Citizen Kane is amazing. We just watched Sunset Boulevard, which is
amazing.
An amazing, great film. And the old films that don't feel old is how you know that they're good. It's you know, you watch all these movies like, oh, this could be coming out in the theater this weekend. You know, it doesn't,
Others you think, okay, that fit in the 1970s, but never now.
Yeah, like I watched this movie called The Searchers with John Wayne.
Oh my God, come on. You didn't like The Searchers?
No.
Oh,
watch
I love The Searchers.
Again.
Bean, come on. Bean, be with me here.
I don't remember The Searchers well enough to have an opinion on it. I mean, it was a hugely successful movie.
There are some racist moments and some misogynist moments in that movie, for sure, because he's trying to save his his daughter, who is Native American. Well, but they definitely don't call her Native American.
He calls him Comanche. And he's trying to kill his daughter because she's been kidnapped, and he now feels that she will be compromised.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my. That's a different plot than Jensen just gave us. Lovely man-servant for his daughter story.
It's problematic.
Jensen is whitewashing it.
Let me tell you, Jensen washed it.
Let me tell you about my other favorite movie, Birth of a Nation. It's about an entertainer.
We were trying to talk Kevin yesterday into watching some Marx Brothers movies because he's never seen any Marx Brothers movies.
Yes, we did one of them.
You did a Marx Brothers movie.
We did.
Let me ask you a question. Had you watched it? Any of them before you did this for the podcast?
I have.
Because he's a comedian. Yeah. Okay.
But I'm a Marx Brothers person. I feel like there are different types of people in the world. Like, I think Three Stooges, you know, I think there's like Laurel and Hardy, but I really think it's Three Stooges and Marx Brothers. Like, if you like one, you probably don't like the other, or, you know, there's a rare crossover.
I agree with that.
They were yelling at me because I hadn't seen any of those.
Either. So you don't have a side. I would say...
Yelling.
I mean, I would watch
so
Duck
pick
Soup.
One.
Yeah, I said Duck Soup. Same as I said.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, no Buster Keaton, no Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, Duck Soup. I think Duck Soup holds up. I mean, but why would you go back to it? Like, you know,
that's Kevin's point.
But that's the point of a lot of people is, look, I don't need it. There's plenty of entertainment. Look, we live in an age of too many entertainment options anyway. Why should I spend my time on a 1932 black and white movie?
Well,
I think that's a question legitimately a lot of people ask.
Well, I'll tell you, Buster Keaton is like the Johnny Knoxville of, like, the silent era.
Greatest.
Like, he literally is doing stunts, like, crazy stunts, like, riding on a train, like, not on a train track, but, you know, the little bar that connects the two wheels, like, the most dangerous things. The man almost killed himself. He threw, like, giant logs off a train, like... He's doing Jackass before Jackass.
Right.
Yeah, and he jumped from a building and broke his foot and then kept the footage. I mean, he's an incredible
dude.
That's
Tom Cruise style.
Yeah.
But yeah, we brought like Jeff Tremaine on the show to talk about that a little bit, just about the similarities. So I think there's a lot of things to glean from it. Conan O'Brien came on to talk about his love of the Marx Brothers on Unscripted.
Humble brag.
Right?
Oh, you know Conan O'Brien. Okay,
no,
we get it.
Big deal. Was he promoting his own podcast? Sure. But we took advantage of it to get him on the show.
I was excited because Paul Scherer this last week popped up on my favorite show, The Good Place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for the first time that you've ever seen The Good Place, I am in The Good Place, and I am... I guess an angel.
Yeah. Possibly.
So I guess. I'm an angel.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, they haven't used that term angels, I guess.
They're calling you ambassadors.
I guess. So I had to keep it a secret. I couldn't even tell people that I was going to be on it. And it was a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't know what the whole episode was, but
That's a wonderful show.
Yeah, it's so great. And we're just as bureaucratic as DC is what we find out when you get to the ambassadors of The Good Place. We have to have permissions.
The multi-talented comedian, writer, director, podcaster, Paul Scherer in studio. And we're going to get to the reason Paul has made the journey today and parked a mile away and ran.
Why I ran down Wilshire.
And it is called Black Monday Showtime. The first episode is already up, by the way. You can watch it online, or you can wait and see it on your TV this Sunday night. But we're going to talk all about it. It's called Black Monday, which means, as you might guess, it's about the stock market crash of 1987. And it is a fascinating era that I don't remember being anywhere near as hilarious as it is on your show. I remember a lot of tears back then.
Well, I think this show kind of runs both sides of it.
Okay. Stop right there. We'll put you on pause. More with Paul right after this on K-Rock. Hollywood heartthrob Paul Scherer in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is acting in a series on Showtime called Black Monday. I cut you off as you were starting to give me your take on that because I was just pointing out that it's a much funnier take than I would have expected for a show like this, especially with Don Cheadle in it.
Yeah, I mean, clearly we're going to the worst day in America's history where basically, you know, tons of people lost their money, and this show kind of posits like how that happened. But I think it kind of shows like a reflection of the society that we're in now, in a way. It's like, yes, that was 1987, but like, look how far we haven't come.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like, yeah, now we have still the same things. It's just kind of hidden a little bit more.
So far, after having seen just the first episode, I would like to live in that world.
Yeah.
So much cocaine.
There's a lot of cocaine.
Get ready for the episode where a Duck Hunt becomes a very big integral part of it. I think that we try in the show to kind of tackle things that you haven't seen done before in other 80s shows, and everyone is kind of carrying this weight of Like, everyone has a secret in the show, you know? So I think it kind of has elements of the shows that I love, like Better Call Saul, where it's like these drama moments, like things that happen and they actually have stakes, but then there are these insane, funny moments. Like, we do a sexual harassment seminar in one of the episodes, which is one of my favorite things that we ever did. Like, a sexual harassment seminar in 1987 is, you know, it's sort of like...
It was just don't get caught.
Yeah, what was like, it was like basically boxing rules for touching a woman in the office. Anything above the belt is fine. Anything below the belt, so like that kind of like stuff. So like, but yeah, the show, and Don Cheadle is great.
He's amazing.
So good. And
No duh, by the way, Paul. Don Cheadle is great and has been in everything he's ever been in his whole life.
He's like really has like captured this character, and it's like him and Regina Hall and Andrew Annals and myself and Horatio Sanz and Yasser Lester. So a whole bunch of us are on the show, and it's been a blast. And I'm rocking a pretty serious wig in this show.
I mean, the wig. Let's say for the wig, because
get ready, get ready.
That's
the best. Yeah, that's the best supporting actor nom. How
often have you had to sport hair on TV?
Well, Human Giant.
Human Giant. I wore wigs for characters and stuff, but when I saw this character, I had an idea, because there's something that gets revealed about this character as the season kind of progresses, and my character, I think, carries a lot of weight as far as what he's hiding as you kind of find out more and more, so I thought it would be really good to kind of have him be hiding the fact that he is bald, and my guy that I wanted him to look like was Sean Penn in Carlito's Way.
Oh, a great character.
Yeah. So
another terrible wig.
But by the way, everyone talks about my wig. Everyone on that show is wearing a wig. I mean, Don is clearly wearing a wig.
Yes.
Regina is, her hair is doing things that I've never seen. There's a lot of wig work in this show.
I think because before you came, Bean asked me, you must be one of those people who get recognized everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
People are used to the look with the bald head. I think people with the wig are like, is that Paul Scheer?
People have watched that trailer. I've sat next to them and go, oh, you're not in the trailer. I'm like, I am. That's me. So I enjoy that I have it, and it's still, I think, shocking for all of us to see each other without our wigs on, because now I'm so used to Don with that mustache and that big wig and Regina and her hair. But yeah, the show is I think the show is really fun. It's written by the guy who co-created Happy Endings, David Casp, so it has a lot of like rapid fire jokes in it, and then some like more serious moments too, so it kind of about a bunch of people on Wall Street that you've never seen before.
It's difficult to make the funny be really funny. It's difficult to make the drama parts and do both at the same time. Almost impossible, but this show does it.
I think we're trying to walk that line, and I think it pays off more and more. And it's one of those shows that when we finished our last day, which was the last scene of the season, I was like, I have no idea where we go from here. Like, which is kind of a great way to feel. It kind of makes you feel like the end of a season of Breaking Bad. Like, they push it so far that it doesn't feel like, okay, next week we're going to come back and it's going to be crazy training again. I think that's the good thing about the show, is it really kind of builds and stuff like that.
You know what I was thinking? Again, we're talking to Paul Scheer. Black Monday is the show. Showtime Sunday night. What I was noticing is how crazy our system is, the way the stock market works on the floor.
Oh,
the fact that you have all those guys having to get make eye contact to make trades and throwing all that paper around and jumping up and down and screaming. I've never understood that. I cannot believe how in the 21st century everybody's not doing all of that from behind a computer.
Well, I think now that's a lot more computer-based because you can get it in a little bit quicker. But back then, you know, you were basically using your own gut to make these trades. I'll tell you the story that was actually something we use in the show. One of the creators of the show, David Casp, his dad was a soybean trader. And he used to see these guys make this thing called the O'Hare play. The O'Hare play was when you'd bet really big on a stock. You take money from everybody that you knew. You put it all in a stock, just like putting it on a roulette wheel. And then you'd wait for the market to come in. And if it hit, you would come home a millionaire. And if it didn't hit, you would head to O'Hare and you'd get on a plane and you'd never come back.
Oh my God. You would watch
people in the 80s do this. So basically, these giant gambles like that. And so that's one of our episodes coming up, which will be based all around this idea of the O'Hare play, which is like these brokers are making insane decisions. They're so fueled by Coke that they're acting like rock stars, but without any of the celebrity or success. So it's sort of like, so it's like the mentality of a rock star, but then you have to go home to your your wife and kids. So that's a lot of like what the show is, and a lot of posturing and stuff like that. But yeah, that floor was insane. We shot so many scenes on a floor, 300 extras, and just the sound of 300 people yelling and trading is overwhelming.
But it still looks like that today when they do reports on the news from the floor of the stock exchange. It still looks very much like that.
There's still a lot of yelling.
I can't believe that they haven't phased that out.
I feel like they could, but no one wants to. It's like the reason when they talk about SNL, like they stay up until 3 in the morning writing on Tuesdays. It's like, you could phase that out.
Yeah.
No one wants to.
Yeah, like, you'd all go home and be on Google Pages.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Easy. Everyone just wants to basically be there shouting at each other and, you know, and then, you know, eating 5 cheeseburgers at lunch. You know, whatever.
Paul,
it is.
Did it make you at all nostalgic for the 80s, or are you thank God that's so far in our past?
You know, I think what I'm so amazed at is like how our technology has shrunk so drastically, but our society has stayed the same. But like, you know, it's like I love all that stuff, and it kind of makes it simpler. Like, you can't get in touch with everybody at all times. Yeah. But no, I mean, it's gross. The looks, the outfits, the pleated things. No. I don't want any of that. Yeah. No.
I think we do better with the new sexual harassment classes.
Well,
I think
sure, yeah.
Probably better off.
Well, it's a terrific show debuting this weekend on Showtime. We're always happy to see Paul Scheer on our screens.
And can I give you guys, if you guys don't have Showtime, can I give you a free code to get a couple of months of Showtime?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you go to Showtime.com and you use the promo code Black Monday, you can get it for free. Showtime. That's Showtime. You can just get in there. You can get your Ray Donovan fix. You can get on your Smilf. Just go to, whatever you want to do. You can go to Showtime.com and use Black Monday.
Yeah, and if you're not using your cable box, you can also watch the first episode now on YouTube. It's just...
Exactly, yeah.
All right, Paul, before you go, 60 seconds with Kevin is going to fire rapid questions at you. Just first thing that comes to your mind, please.
60 seconds with Paul Scheer. Mustaches, great in real life or just for porn?
Just for porn.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
Eddie Murphy.
Do you collect anything?
Yes, I collect, right now I think Funkos. I'm into that.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
When I was a kid, yes, now disgusting.
Do you have a hidden talent?
I like photography. I don't know.
What was your first real job?
I rollerblading around New York City, trying to get people to sign up for Prodigy.
Wow.
Wasn't expecting that. What food would you ban from the earth if you had the power?
Liver.
What's the best trophy you've ever won?
Something from Doug Loves Movies, I think, is the only trophy I think I've ever won.
Do you regret voting for Donald Trump yet?
No, I still stand by it. I think we're on the right track. Things are really turning around.
Oh, we're leaving on a positive note.
Also, thank something we're going to isolate and play forever.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Oh, man.
What?
We just played Sex and Candy.
Yeah.
No one can pick it for Keep It 100.
Technically, they can.
Well, but we just played it.
Right, but so don't, you're saying?
Listen, it never stopped us with that Weezer cover.
It's true.
Play it back to back.
Here's the thing. Every Friday at this time, we invite you to text us at 1-800-520-1067. Any K-Rock song, past or present, that you love, if we still have it in the system, we will play it for you. We call it Keep It 100, and you've chosen some great songs in recent weeks, including these. That was Jennifer in Monrovia from last week. What's it going to be this week? It's up to you. Text us right now, 1-800-520-1067. Texter number 100. We'll play your song coming up after the top of the hour.
You're up.
And
what's happening?
Don't forget Coachella
guys,
tickets
no one's
in
really
5 minutes
winning with
as
this
well.
Whole shutdown, right? People are working for free. Some aren't working at all. It's just a bad situation across the board.
I'm not seeing an upside to it.
Nope.
Well, you know who is?
No, tell me.
Pornhub.
Oh.
They've seen an increase in visits to the site during the shutdown and also a distinct shift in the hours where people are watching, said videos. So compared to traffic levels prior to the shutdown, weekday visits across the board are up 6% from January 7th to the 11th. And the site's peak traffic hours are usually 1 p.m. to midnight. But after the shutdown began, late night traffic increased 14%. You don't have any job to go to the next day.
True.
Stay up, watch some porn, right? Who's with me?
Yeah.
Who's with me?
Stay a lot up of government employees.
Porn.
Right.
Jensen?
Does anybody need that much porno?
Who's with me?
Letting you drown.
Just saying. Makes sense.
It does make sense, yeah.
So, yay for them, but bad for everyone.
Have you seen porn? How could we not enjoy it?
That's a good point.
I love big, fat, juicy pickles.
Right?
I have said that for years. Dill. Pickles.
Right.
Love dill pickles.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really love those little, what are they, like pepperoncinis? Those ones that look like little corn on, what are those?
I think they're pepperoncinis. I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah, I don't love those.
Okay.
What's happening? Have we started What's Happening yet?
No.
Okay. No, no, no. Soon.
You know that show on Fox we've talked about a few times, The Masked Singer?
Yeah. Yes.
Where they have the judges, and then people come out dressed like head to toe as different animals, whatever, and then they sing a song, and people have to guess who it is.
That's right.
Have we talked about that?
Yes. Your boy was a producer on it.
Oh, yeah. Jensen's a producer on it.
I'm your boy.
So, we found out the first week, like, ratings were gangbuster, right? Crazy out-of-the-box ratings. So people thought, okay, second week, it'll take a little bit of a dip. Took a slight dip.
Yeah, not too much.
Still gangbusters.
Wow.
Third week, still gangbusters.
Wow.
Currently, the top-rated new series of 2018-2019 among adults 18 to 49. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and this is a show built around Terry Bradshaw singing in a pig costume?
A deer,
but sure.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that you try and guess along with the crew of panelists and figure out who the person is.
It's an absurd show.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful mix between hate watching and actually watching. It's literally right in the middle.
Yeah. There you go. So three shows in, any word on a second season yet?
I'm sure. I was a small part of it, but you know, I guarantee you they're already celebrating with champagne and just waiting for the time to announce it.
By the way, Joel McHale is a judge on the show, I think, this week or next.
Yeah, he was already on the other day. He was on the deer episode. There was such a funny part in that show where when he's guest judge, he looks at Ken Jeong after people have been asking a bunch of questions to the Masked Singer and turns to him and he goes, why don't we just ask him who he is? Still makes me laugh.
Just end this crap, right?
He'll be on again next week's show and will be joining us in studio on the Kevin and Bean show to talk about it. So that'll be fun.
Well, we will talk about the acid trip that was working on that show together.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, this news came out yesterday. Apparently, there's a movie based on Monopoly that's been in the works for years, and Ridley Scott was attached at one time to direct.
That's great.
That is insane to me.
The thimble's going to explode in the middle of a bridge.
Right? It's just cuckoo. But now it looks like Kevin Hart and director Tim Story will be the ones to pass go. What? It's a Monopoly movie. There's no logline yet, but per deadline, it's being kept up under wraps for now. But a writer and a shoot date have not been set. But a previous version of the project centered on a young man from the game's modest Baltic Avenue on a quest to make a fortune. What?
Give it to the Lego dudes.
Yeah,
kidding. Give it to Miller and Lord.
Because when I first heard about that, I was like, they're making a movie with Legos?
That's terrible.
And it was
great. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Give them anything that they can play with. 21 Jump Street, even.
Yes.
Like, you were like, why is that going to be a movie? Then it was great.
Yeah.
Give it to those dudes.
I did like this article from Collider because, obviously, the writer, not a big Kevin Hart fan. So after the explanation of the show, it said, presumably, Hart's character would be someone who's kind of a smartass who talks real loud and makes jokes about his height.
Jeez.
Whoa!
That's not even the worst thing about him right now.
Like, damn. I get it.
I don't need a Monopoly movie, and I don't care how good it is. I'm not going. I know that.
What if everyone says it's great, Bean? Why wouldn't you?
Because it's a movie based on Monopoly.
Well, I know, but that's what we said about Lego.
And I didn't see that either.
It was great.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
All right.
I watch anything if someone has a monocle. You guys know that about me.
Yeah, it's written all over your shirt.
Thank you.
Monocle lover. Yeah.
It's weird. Hey, some birthdays for you guys. Dave Bautista, actor, former wrestler. He was a great wrestler.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amazing.
Dave Bautista, and the rumor he's coming back. WrestleMania. He's supposed to maybe wrestle Triple H.
Oh, my God. I hope James Gunn's involved.
Do you guys like wrestling yet or no?
I'm so sad I was sick that day.
Oh, you're not sad. Don't worry. It did not go over well.
Really?
No. But in, still.
I mean, what?
I feel like you explaining wrestling would be something.
You forget how much goes on. You're like, this is Jimmy Snuka's daughter. Jimmy Snuka may have killed his girlfriend. I mean, there's just so many things.
There's and not even real life storylines, just the storylines.
Just the real life.
Yeah, plus, you're explaining it to us.
Yeah, who don't care. Yeah.
So that's
but
tough.
But before we go. Are you into wrestling?
I feel like if you just led with Rikishi,
he used to sit on people's faces.
He'd be in.
Big, fat sumo wrestler.
Right?
He used to sit on other opponents' faces anyway.
That's pretty good.
I think you lead with that, and Kevin's like, I love wrestling.
Well, it didn't go over well.
All right. Well, also happy birthday to Jason Segel, Kevin Costner, and someone who hasn't missed a step, Jonathan Davis. So good. And that's what's happening.
First of all, it's Friday. First of all.
Yay.
Nope.
Second of all, it's time to keep it 100.
Yeah.
Oh, how dare you. Hit it, Steve. I gotta keep it 100. Keep it 100, baby. Keep it 100. I keep it 100. I keep it 100. Keeping it 100. Keep it 100. Keep it 100. Keep it 100. I'ma keep it 100. 100. Keep it 100. Keep it 100. We appreciate the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of texts we get every week to look for a K-Rock song to, that you'd like to hear. And we got some good choices this week. Texter number 99, Blues Traveler Hook. Now, I know that sounds like a comedy answer, but I'm telling you, if you heard that song right now, it would jam. You would love it. And Texter 101 was Juan in Ontario looking for Paranoid Android by Radiohead.
All
so
right.
You'd be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That would not have hurt me at all either. But only one can be texted number 100, and that is our man Sergio, who joins us on the line from Whittier.
Hey, Sergio.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on with you, man?
Hey, no more Friday, man. Come on.
Yes!
Sergio! Sergio!
Can we change songs?
Nicely done.
Sergio, yeah. 2020, everybody. First of all, do you get Monday off? Are you looking at a holiday weekend, Sergio?
I am looking at a 3-day weekend, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
Oh, what are you going to do? Anything special? Got any plans besides watching the Rams?
Yeah, I got to watch the kids.
Fatherhood is great, Jensen.
Sounds great.
All right.
Now watch the kids.
You got to pick. You got to pick any song that K-Rock has ever played. How did you make your selection?
Well, first of all, I was a hardcore Velvet Revolver fan. I mean, you know, diehard. I did 30 shows, 40 shows, whatever.
And wow.
I was a huge Scott Weiland fan, and you know, that didn't off and anything. But Stryker last week on the free for all played Slither, and I didn't think, you know, we hear that song on the radio anytime soon, but it was really good to hear on the radio, and I think it's a really good song to play and get people pumped for the 3-day weekend.
I like it.
I like it as well.
That was your cue, Kevin.
That was my cue to start the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
There it is. Thanks, Sergio.
All right, let me get that cue again.
Thank you. You too. Keep it 100.
We'll be right back.
going to tell you guys.
That sounded great.
Mm-hmm. That sounded great. Sergio Witter, nice choice. We all remember how great Stone Temple Pilots was, that I think it's easy to forget that Velvet Revolver had their moments, too.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
You know what I mean? That was a real, real good band. As Sergio mentioned, you know, how much we all love and miss the late Scott Weiland. All right, Allie, we always ask you to tell us when that song came out. You're usually pretty good at this.
It's early 2000.
Okay.
Like 2003. Mm-hmm. Maybe 2004.
Why can't you just pick a year?
Possibly 2005. 2003.
This is what she does. She covers like 10 years, and then she's always right.
And then when it says it's the wrong, I said that one too.
Okay, 2003.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Would you like to?
But so close, and you did say 2004 at one point.
Doesn't count. Sorry.
It came out in 2004 and won the 2005 Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance. So there it is, the Grammy Award-winning Slither. That is from Velvet Revolver. Thank you to Sergio and Whittier. We'll do it again next Friday. It's Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
Now, very busy, very active show today, and I don't think we have spent enough time discussing our plans to help the Rams win the game this weekend.
Yeah.
And go to the Super Bowl.
What plans do we have?
Well,
to discuss.
You know, as we have discussed many times in the past, many people have superstitions. Many people have a routine that they follow. Jensen, all those years as a Clipper fan,
no.
Did you have a routine?
If you did, you need to change
it. That's the thing. Is it's different for me because I don't even know what the feeling of winning is like. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's different. I have nothing to compare it to.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's why I bring it up. I had dinner the other night at a place. Too much detail?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm talking to the server, Aynisha, lovely young woman, and she is a rabid, Saints fan. And we were talking about the game this weekend, New Orleans versus Los Angeles on Sunday afternoon, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she was wearing a Saints jersey, which is why I started chatting with her. And I said, how do you feel about the game? She's like, oh, I love the Saints so much that I can't watch them in the playoffs. And I said, what do you mean? And I said, you mean because the games are tense? And she's like, no, I'll get sick if I tune in the game during a playoff game. I will not watch any Saints playoffs games.
That's the goal of the franchise through history, is
yes.
to get into the playoffs.
That's why you're rooting for them
yes.
the first 16 games, is because you want to see them in the playoffs and ultimately go to the Super Bowl. Right. So I said, do you usually watch the game? She's like, oh, yeah, regular season I can do, but the stakes are so high during the playoffs that I cannot put my body and my mind through that. And I said, so do you just follow it along like on an app on your phone or something? She's like, no. I don't want to know anything about it until the game is over. I find out after the game is over whether they won or lose. And if they won, then I'll go back and watch the game on tape.
That is insane.
I'd never heard of it before. And I put it up when I got back from dinner that night. I put it up on my Twitter, @ClydeTumbaugh. And I asked, you guys, have you ever heard of this sports superstition? And I heard from multiple people who have done the same thing, have the same policy. It's too tense to watch a playoff game. Heard from several Dodgers fans.
I totally get it. I don't even know how fans of sports teams that are good do it. Because as a Clippers fan, we've only made the second round at one time, and we blew it.
Right.
And I felt pain, like actual pain inside. I was like, this hurts. Like, it doesn't feel good at all. And the stress and the nerves. And games would come down to game 7 and stuff. And
yes.
Down to last
10 seconds. That's what you live for.
No, it's enjoyable when it's not your team. I find it to be extremely unenjoyable when it's my team. I don't even have fun. It's like, this is a terrible feeling.
I get playoff poops. We've talked about it on the
air.
Oh,
yeah.
Where I just get so nervous that I have to poo all during the playoffs.
I mean, it is... I mean, it is nerve-wracking. There's no question about
it. I notice how thin you are every year when the Patriots are in the Super Bowl.
Thank you so much.
It is nerve-wracking, and I guess if you knew they were going to win, it would be worth it, but then it wouldn't be nerve-wracking if you knew that you were going to win. You just have to go with it, right?
You go because that makes it so much sweeter when they win. Yes.
No, because yesterday when you were giving examples, when we were talking about this, and you were like, you were shocked I can't do it.
Right.
You said to me, you go, I was at a Kings game and we were blah, 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 and then we won. I understand that was a great feeling.
We went
feeling.
Into double overtime.
Great mm-hmm. feeling.
Right, but you didn't know
yes.
that we were going to win
that's
that
my
game
problem.
At all.
So that's my problem.
Into the second overtime, you had no idea.
Well, as a Clippers fan, I know how it's going to end.
Okay. maybe that's the problem.
That's the problem. And I'm saying I know, so I can't even get invested because it stings. And if I knew it was going to end like your Kings game, absolutely, I'd love to be there.
But I didn't know it was going to end like that Kings game.
I know,
game.
But it never ends like that for me. What I'm saying
is... Well, you have a bad team.
Yes.
Maybe that's the problem.
It's always been a problem.
And now, Kevin, you know what it's like to have a bad team.
I mean, yes,
I this mean, year, you're kind of going through it now, right?
I mean, we are battling for last.
So yeah. I was just really, really surprised. I don't think I've ever heard that someone who is such a big fan of the team that they won't watch them in the playoffs. I feel like that's the whole point is the playoffs.
What about, let's say you're a Laker fan, which you're not, but, okay. They won with Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah.
Three years. And then after that, they didn't much, but still, if you make it into the playoffs, you go to every game and you watch it because you're a fan.
Maybe it's different because they've won before. I don't know. Maybe it's specific for my Clipperdom, but I'm saying I don't feel...
I don't think they have a chance of winning.
Well, the reward isn't worth the pain yet.
The reward is... That's what makes the reward so sweet, is the pain.
No. I've had enough then! If that's what you're saying, then give me the reward now.
Okay, this is one of my best NBA experiences. Was the Lakers were in the playoffs against the Portland Trailblazers.
I'm sure it was great.
Let me finish.
Okay.
The Lakers sucked. Mm-hmm. Period one, period two, halftime,
quarter,
period
sure.
quarter. Yeah. Sorry, that's
hockey.
Third quarter, I was so angry. We weren't making free throws. We weren't passing. We weren't playing defense. Yeah. I was so pissed. Got down to the end, last 3 minutes, turned it around against Trailblazers, won. And I'm saying that wouldn't have been one of the sweetest moments in sports had I not lived through that hell that was the first three quarters.
None of your stories at all involve what I have felt mostly, which is walking to my car with my head down, wondering when we're going to trade Chris Paul, asking why Doc Rivers forced his son to be on the team, calling my mom. My mom then telling me, "Well, I don't get it. Why is that?" And then having to explain it to her, and then going home and falling asleep and doing it again the next season. I don't
so
have
it's the
endings.
It's the opportunity to win that you don't have.
And I'm not interested in feeling the pain that
without
comes without
win.
Winning. Yes.
Okay, I can see that.
I was dating a guy from New York in 2004.
Humble brag.
Ugh.
Post-9/11.
He was the worst. 2004 with the Red Sox down 3 games.
Yes.
Like, this is...
One of the greatest moments.
Like,
ALCS, right.
But the worst situation ever, just him with the blah, 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 right?
Yep.
There's no way I was missing that next game. Even though they were doomed, there's no way they would ever come back.
Right.
Let alone that game. Everyone's like, this is it. They're out. They're out of the playoffs. They came back and won 4 games straight and went and won a World Series.
But you wouldn't have experienced that as much had you not gone to those 3 games that sucked.
Exactly.
It must be great. It must, God, I just hearing you talk about it.
I will say this. It is exhausting winning that much now. It's tiring.
Three more World Series since then.
Yeah.
All right, we got to wrap this up.
All
but
right.
Here's what I'm going to do is Sunday after the Rams win, I'm going to drive down to the Herd Dat Cafe and I'm going to go and I'm going to find Aisha.
Please
I'm going
do.
To say, and I'm going to say, hey, the Saints won.
And you should watch the entire game.
Just going to lie to her. Yep.
It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff. Right?
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know I barely listen.
I know some people after work and most others are still asleep. So it's lucky that your boy Jensen wraps up every week. Kevin and B were on TV, but admit they couldn't hack it. I guess it was the gigantic pads in their jackets. Or maybe it's the makeup or just the way they talk. In the end, I guess they have faces made for K-Rock. And people ghost their jobs and straight up act like a jerk. But I get to tell them, girl. And Kevin has 150 pairs of one sock, which left us dead in the studio like the drummer from Witch Rot. And Dave likes the rain like a 6-year-old kid. We'd ask him, but we're too busy playing Chris Hansen clips. And Bean found some money, so he told all of us. And Allie's favorite TV show is
Move That Bus!
And if we end up in Atlanta, she'll kick a pony's ass. If you missed that, download the podcast.
I mean, I think I would listen to that show.
Yeah.
KRock.com/KB podcast.
Well done, Jensen. Thank you for that. It is Friday. That means Allie is here with a
Friday.
Special guest.
Friday.
Just that's for the ones I missed.
Thank you.
Kat, you look very pretty today.
I do.
You do.
Oh, I'm wearing a shirt with mustaches. Can you tell?
Why do you question that? Just say thank you.
Thank you.
I do.
Just very cute. That's all.
Listen, here's how you take a compliment, woman.
Sorry. I just roll out of bed and get in here. Come on.
So you woke up like that?
Yeah.
Naturally flawless.
I sleep standing up with my makeup on.
Sure.
Well, Kat is here to tell us about some great things happening in town this weekend. But first, a few stories for you. Tom Morello tweeted this last night. I'm playing tomorrow for the striking L.A. teachers. 10:30 a.m. Grand Park City Hall, downtown L.A. Hashtag the night watchman cometh. Hashtag union strong. Hashtag solidarity forever. So it's less than an hour. You can head down to Grand Park City Hall, downtown L.A., and you get to see Tom Morello. Also, Allo Black, Maya Jupiter, Ted Hampton, all sorts of people down there.
That's crazy. Those are main names you made up at the end.
Yeah, Ted Hampton.
Jupiter? Phil Jupiter?
Drops of Jupiter in your hair.
All fake.
What?
All fake.
Apparently, Buffalo reference was that?
Oh, wow. No. You guys, you knew it was going to happen, but don't you also just say, wait, what? Why are you doing this? Do you need more info?
More, yes, okay. A little more.
So, you know Les Moonves, he was the head of CBS. Mm-hmm. He was ousted and denied $120 million of an exit package after the internal investigation determined he's not eligible due to all of the sexual misconduct that he allegedly did. Well, Moonves is reportedly pledging to fight the network for the payout. There's apparently an option in his contract that included a provision that allowed him to demand binding arbitration in the event that he was ever denied a settlement. Which I don't know if that's normal wording for a contract or if he was like, if anything ever comes out, I want to be able to sue them.
He is asking for it.
Yeah.
This is when it's really going to come down.
Is that when all the discovery comes out?
This is when everyone goes, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what. Here's what happened.
Finally, an instance where we can say he was asking for it.
Oh, as we always say, more music, less Moonves.
Nice.
I like it, Kat. Bringing the heat. Yeah. So I saw this study and I thought, you are weird, and there's too much money involved with having people do studies. University of Florida researchers exposed a group of participants to the scent of strawberries, apples, biscuits, and pizza. They found that those who sniffed the unhealthy options for less than 30 seconds were more likely to want them. However, if you sniff that pizza for more than 2 minutes, it stops becoming desirable. So if you're craving something unhealthy for you, smell it for 2 minutes, and then you won't want it.
It's like dating.
Go ahead and pull that one. So if you're like, oh, wow, look at this.
That's odd.
This taco, let me smell it for 2 minutes.
Really? You're going to go with taco?
Allie! Like, it's just insane. Allie. Like, 2 minutes.
I like the new experimental Allie.
New year, new me. But, I mean, really, do you put a timer on 2 minutes? You're like, yeah, no, I want a strawberry now.
Why would they do that study in the first place?
It's the dumbest thing I've ever read, and I just wanted to share it with you.
It's science.
It is science.
So for all of you anime fans, head on out to the Fairplex in Pomona because people are dressing up this weekend. Tomorrow, a big Anime Impulse 2019. I watched the video of last year's. Mm-hmm. Just lots of weird people in costumes staring at the camera.
I'm in.
Kind of freaks me out a little bit.
People watching is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I just want to pull up a lawn chair in Pomona and just like take notes and comment on Twitter.
Crack a beer.
Yeah, it would be great. I will not be with those weirdos. I will be with the dog loving people at Santa Anita. Tomorrow is the inaugural Bulldog Derby.
Your dog isn't going to race.
Now, look, I'm against racing of animals.
Because your dog is fat.
Here's the thing. We use race in quotes, right? Why?
I don't know if she heard it.
I'm totally ignoring you.
All right.
Well, because she's not fat, because Kevin doesn't know what he's talking about.
You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, bulldogs are top heavy, okay? They're big bones. Sure.
Well, and V has lost some weight.
Yeah, she's lost 20 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Just saying.
But they're not the most athletic breed. I think we can all agree on that.
Thank you, Bean. So the word race is in quotations because, I mean, it's going to take, like, I don't know, them dangling chicken
and
or
just
a squirrel.
Walk.
Or a squirrel with chicken on their back running.
Weird look.
I would like to see a squirrel with a chicken on his back running.
Is that Linus in the background?
No, this is some tape I have of Tater Tots, as we're talking about.
Oh, rest in peace, Tater Tot.
Right.
So anyway, they're going to be a bunch of these, you know, the squishy fat kids are going to be on the track racing. And all the proceeds will go to the Southern California Bulldog Rescue, which is the organization that I adopted my bulldog through. And Bean's wife, Donna, does tons of work with those guys.
She does so much work with them, and that's how I got to love Stewie.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Rescue pup Stewie, yeah.
So just imagine that. You know, just come down and race and or look at all the fun stuff. So it's going to be good tomorrow.
I'm telling you, just going any place where there are multiple bulldogs in one location is just a treat. It's just so
fun. Will actually make you laugh. Like you will walk out smiling. So just looking at them. So it's a good thing.
And can I mention something else happening this weekend, which delights me to no end because I don't think they know who they booked. The Hotel Cafe has booked Chip's band, Well Hung Heart.
Oh, geez.
Not sure if they thought they were an acoustic band or what was happening, but when Chip told me this, I was like, that's like a listening place. You sit there, you're quiet, you listen.
Is it like a singer-songwriter type place?
A lot, yes. It's not somewhere where someone blows your butt off, which is what Well Hung Heart does. Yeah. Chip, what's happening?
I think we're going to break Hotel Cafe tonight.
I think they might.
I'm pretty sure. It's gonna be pretty amazing. Yeah, your fans like go to the Velvet Margarita across the road and just get hammered, and then they're going to be like, what's the singer-songwriter place?
Yeah, we might not be invited back, but it's going to be fun tonight.
It's going to be fun.
Did they give you any direction on keeping it quiet?
We were told there's a decibel limit.
You are effed. Oh, my God. What is happening tonight?
I can't wait. But we're also playing with The Last Internationale and Glam Skanks. It's going to be fun until we get shut down.
Glam Skanks, also the name of my a cappella group in college.
Oh, that's
yeah, thank you.
It's tonight, by the way, at 10 p.m.
Tonight, 10 p.m. Hotel Cafe. Chip is going to break it with Well Hung Heart. Just saying. It's going to happen, you guys. You heard it here first. Birthdays for you. Jason Segel. I mean, I think he's known for How I Met Your Mother, for getting Sarah Marshall knocked up. I love you, man.
Sure.
But we all know him as Ali Siegel's brother.
Correct.
The guy that acts sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Artist extraordinaire.
He's our second Ali favorite Siegel. Member of the Siegel family.
That's what I'm saying. Well, her parents are great.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Right? And then she's got a brother, Adam. So, and her dog, maybe, Riley.
Maybe fifth then?
Oh, have you met Riley?
No. Parents' I've only dog? Seen pictures, yeah.
Riley, the best.
Riley hates Allie. Like, to the point where she'll be like, come here, Riley. And the dog looks and walks away.
Makes a decision,
It's a conscious effort for Riley not to like Allie.
Does
Siegel.
It make she me too. Bad, then, to put Riley above Allie?
Wow.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay,
rough.
So you've got Riley,
yes,
Allie,
yes.
Parents,
yes.
Adam. Brother Adam,
yes.
then
brother
Jason Segel.
Yes.
Wow, poor Jason. I mean, we're just trying to talk about his birthday.
He's had a rough life.
Hey, happy birthday, buddy.
And Jonathan Davis from Korn. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Strikers commercial free-for-all today during your drive home on the world-famous K-Rock.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, this is going to be such a hoot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
Roll another one.
I don't know, so that's a toss-up.
Just like the other one.
Riveting radio.
This one seems to be about quit.
Call now.
And I need another hit.
That happening right now? I'm not sure which. I'm going to get under this desk. I apologize for the theatrics. Okay. This is live. This is what's happening right now.
Roll another one.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Am I still here?
Just like the other one.
You can't polish this turd.
This one seems to be about its men. And I don't have another cent.
My disappointment is immeasurable. And my day is ruined.
But the
what the hell's that? What's up with that?
Just pass it around.
That is not attractive.
And the bogart that joined my friend.
Who steals a cheese grater?
Just pass it on down.
No, it was fun. It was fun.
It was not fun.
No, it wasn't.
I just want to say, I'm disgusted with the two of you. You get out of here.
I just want to have a finale. I don't want to have a big, beautiful event and then people just go, good night, see ya. I want them to be wowed.
Well, that covers a lot of ground. Say, you cover a lot of ground yourself. You better beat it. I hear they're going to tear you down and put up an office building where you're standing. You can leave in a taxi. If you can't get a taxi, you can leave in a huff. If that's too soon, you can leave in a minute and a half.
Bong, bong.
Anything else you want to...
No.